not depart from it. And that's easily proven, because how many of us in the building was raised up knowing about God? No matter how good the teaching was or how shabby the teaching was, you grew up knowing something about God. And regardless to what you knew, you decided to operate in ways that you knew were not of God. But yet you are sitting in the church house today, because no matter how crazy, low down, and scandalous you got, you knew deep down on the inside of you is where this is where you were supposed to be. Is it anybody in the building that's real enough to admit, I was raised right, and I knew right from wrong, and I chose to do it my way, the wrong way anyway. But because of what was put in me in my younger years, I couldn't stay out of here if I wanted to. Lord, have mercy. I remember being on the block one night with my crew, and somebody had a box of Newports, and I said, let me see that box, because I didn't smoke, and you know, every now and then I'd try it, but you know, it wasn't my thing. And I had and I read it on the side of the box. It said, warning, could cause cancer, could lead to death. And immediately on a Friday night, with a beer in one hand and a Newport box in another hand, I began to preach about how is it that the government can warn you about what the cigarette's gonna do to you, but yet we smoke it anyway. We pay outlandish prices for it anyway. I'm in the hood, pockets full of crack, beer in one hand, Newport box in the other, and I'm preaching like I'm in somebody's pulpit. Let me tell you something, baby. That was because there was a time when I was younger, before Satan had his hands on me. God had his hands on me first, and it didn't make no never mind what I might about be preaching about. I was preaching it from, oh God. They used to tell me, I don't like copping from you. You sell somebody some work and then give them a sermon. I don't know if I want to sell it, smoke it, flush it. You need to make up your mind, Preem, what you going to do. Amen. Lord, have mercy. We are supposed to train them up. You remember back in the days when you was out there and you just knew you didn't belong? And things would happen that I'm going to tell you, y'all know, pray for me. I promise I'm saved. I was watching Friday After Next, Barbershop 3 something, and I remember Cedric the Entertainer was in there, and he was running from the police, and the Black Panthers happened to run into the barbershop, and he ran in so he could, you know, look like he was one of the Black Panthers and wasn't one of the people that was supposed to be getting locked up. And they said, we're ready to go out here and go to war about ours. He said, yeah. And he said, we ain't playing about this. They said, yeah. And the dude said, we ready to die if we got to. And he said, yeah. You remember, and you listen to all that gangster music, you dress like a gangster, you rap like a gangster, you look like a gangster, and when it was time to get gangster, you was like, you know they lock people up for stuff like that. I'd be the one riding in the car talking about, yeah, it's time, 20 years or not. Waiting for somebody to cop on to what I was talking about. I said 20 years or not. It's time. Whether they kill us or not. Anybody ever been in that situation? You don't want to be the one to say, nah, we ain't going out like that. And finally you just get to the point, you say, you know what? This ain't even worth it, man. We got kids. Oh, Lord. We are supposed to train them up. But because we have half-stepped on the training, the enemy was able to come in and rewire the thinking of our children. Look, let me break this thing down like this, and I'm going to just go ahead and tell you. Let me see how young these babies are. All right. X understands at a level that he shouldn't at this age, so I might have to forfeit some of this. Let me break it down like this. It was always supposed to be a godly man meets a godly woman. They court or go out, get to know one another in a godly way. See, this is why I say Christians date with intention. Mm-hmm. Because dating just for the fun of it, well, have you ending up being a single mother and have you brothers in child support court? Come on, somebody. And I think I've already had my rant a couple of years ago about child support court and how they had the nerve to put on my the pay stub, family care. She is not in my family no more. We are not family. I don't even know if we're friends right now. Because every time I see that number, I don't feel good. We should date with intention because that should be the generational tradition that we keep. If we're going to keep any generational tradition, it should be we date with intention. My grandma Dora, she died at 86 years old, and she was married one time. And when her and my grandfather James divorced, she was never with another man. There were people, you remember this, there were people speaking at her funeral talking about how she had devoted her life to celibacy and she didn't want to get married again and she didn't want to be with a man again. It was over. You know, the Lord had blessed them with 5 children. She was done. And I want you to understand, that, you know, because some people can say, you know, well, I will commit to celibacy and it might be a little easier for you, but not for my grandma Dora because she was fine. And she ain't fine because she was my grandmother. She's fine because she was actually breathtaking. I could show you pictures. She was a beautiful woman. And I asked my dad, I said, hold on. I said, now listen, I'm not, you know, this is my baby. I love her. I eulogized her. It broke my heart when she went to glory. But I had to ask my father. I said, now you know Grandma Dora was fine. And he said, yes, son, I already know what you're getting at. And I said, not one? He said, not one. People came to her funeral because they wanted to say, if they didn't say anything else, they wanted to speak about her virtue, about what God meant to her, about what man didn't mean to her. She had put all her trust. She had learned to put all of her trust in God and not in princes, not in men. You understand what I'm saying to you? But she knew that she knew no other men other than my grandfather, because she had made up in her mind that she wanted to only live for Jesus. And that's what she did. And I know that might be hard for some of us to believe, but I bless God that I was able to be connected to a remnant that stood on holiness is still right. And many folk can't believe that a person could go that long without having sex because you base everyone else's discipline upon your own. But may I suggest that there are some people who still desire God over everything. I know it's like a Betamax. It's like a VCR. You don't see it often. It's like a typewriter. But there is really some Christians that still desire God over everything. Now, let me show you why the clap was low. How many in here can honestly say, I love God more than anything? Hold on. Think about your grandkids. Think about, and see, this ain't the place to look good line. And this isn't to make you feel no type of a way, but this is to really put this thing out here, because we say things because it's easy to say, or they're duh questions or duh moments. Of course I love God more than anything, but if that is the scenario, then why do I put and exalt everything over God? So let's have a real honest moment in the house of the Lord today, because I believe honesty can get you delivered. Amen. How many of us in here can really say that we love the Lord more than anything? Yeah. And it don't mean you're going to hell. It don't mean that God don't love you. It don't mean that God is upset with you. What it means is you got work to do. We can I be real with you? We got work to do. See, once you can be real about that thing, then guess what? Satan no longer has a hold on you with that. Then you can walk in the house and say, you know, I'm not where I should be, but I'm headed there. See, don't get caught up about where you ain't no more. No, I'm not where I should be, but I'm headed there. I'm not where I should be, but I'm on the way. You understand what I'm saying to you? But when you got a fake Christian, when you got a fake saved, when you got to fake it like you think you got to fake it like you got it all together, ain't that hard to walk into the house of the Lord? Some of y'all was going to raise y'all's hands. Ain't that a hard way to walk into any situation faking it? Because no matter who you fooling, you ain't fooling you. Lord, have mercy. It's supposed to be godly man meets godly woman, and they create a godly family. But there was a monkey wrench thrown in the plan on the strength of Adam and a tree, and Satan having his way. He's been having his way ever since. So watch this. So sex is no longer sacred, but it still meant something. Lord have mercy. Well, Pastor, what do you mean? Sex was no longer sacred, but it still meant something. What I mean is we stopped viewing sex as sacred unto God. See, something sacred to God is defined as dedicated or set apart for a service or worship. Let me tell you something. When you withstand illegal sexual activity, baby, that's worship. Can I say it again? Because you missed it. When you withstand illegal sexual activity, that is worship. Lord, have mercy. Especially when the old you had sex when it felt right. But remember, our working definition of the word worship. Worship is coming from where you are in the natural to where Jesus is. Lord, have mercy. It is a complete 180 in your thinking as well as your being. So when Sexy Dex or Thick Shonda is on the scene and everything is primed and ready for some mind-blowing, gonna send you straight to hell, sinful experience, your worship kicks in and you say, you know what, I can't keep on being a victim to the same old thing. Sorry, not sorry, but I've got to do the right thing. You've just operated in worship. You've just said, God, I trust you. You just said, your will and not my will be done. You just said to the enemy, not today, not this time. Yeah, yeah. Saying no to what needs to be said no to is worship. Saying yes to what needs to be said yes to is worship. I know you was taught that it was a slow song that drug on and drug on. I know you was taught it was snotting all over the room and crying and speaking in tongues and falling on the floor. But let me tell you something. Worship, the working definition for worship in the Unity Worship Center is coming from where you were in the natural to where he is, to where Jesus is. Lord, have mercy. But what has been happening is we've been operating without God. Who ever thought such? The Christian operating without God. It's like a painter operating without a brush. We've been operating in our own logic. We've been following our own heart. And as a consequence, we've been getting more and more tore out the frame. And the enemy has been having a field day with us, and he is not worried about losing us because he's banking that the way we are now is the way that we will always be. Because to be honest, this supernatural change, this spiritual transformation that is called for, it takes work. It is not easy. We like the sin that we were in for a reason, because and the reason that we liked it is because it appeased and pleased our flesh. And now you are mandated to tell your flesh no. Whew. Now you are mandated to tell your flesh to be quiet. And sin, if not caught and dealt with quick, brings forth not just death, but before it brings forth death, it brings forth addiction. Uh-huh. They really don't want it no more, but the body screams, I've got to have. Anybody ever had to go through some withdrawal? Lord, have mercy. Oh, God. I find it funny how we're so quick to poke fun and shake our head at the heroin or the crack addict, but be in a relationship with no marriage in sight, being dogged out, beat up, and cheated on, all because you were addicted to the... promise I'm saved. Pastor Ray said, it keeps calling me and calling me. Ghetto theologian Tupac Shakur once said, have you ever seen a crackhead? It's eternal fire. In other words, what he was saying was they don't want to do it no more. They've got to do it now. How many of us have been in dead-end relationships where we really didn't want to do it no more, but we just got to. Oh, Lord, have mercy. The title of this sermon, His Way. Some of y'all need better poker faces. I titled the sermon His Way because there are some assurances in being a child of God and in doing things His way. And I really want you to catch this. I don't want you to leave here without catching this. There are some assurances in being a child of God and in doing things His way. Now, the definition for assurance is confidence of mind or manner, easy freedom from self-doubt or uncertainty. And I really just want to rock with the first part of that. Confidence of mind or manner. Please understand that God's word gives a confidence in our minds, and that mind will dictate or determine the manner. Now the word manner means a way in which a thing is done or happens. So by God's word, through trusting Him, trusting in Him completely and consistently, we strengthen our mind, and our mind dictates the manner or the way in which we do life. Psalms 37, David writes verses 22 through 23 through 24. David writes, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in His way. Though he may fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with His hand. Let me tell you something, baby. Everybody should have lost their mind in verse number 24. Though he may fall. Because no matter how holy, no matter how righteous, no matter the tongues you speak in, no matter whatever the office is that you hold in the church, every now and again, you going to fall. You might fall. Let me put that thing like that. I don't want to prophesy you going to fall, but let me put it like this. You might fall. Amen. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. And I don't know about nobody else in here, but I'm glad that if I fall, that don't mean game over. Can I be real with the flock in here today? I'm so glad that it means that when I fail, it didn't mean game over. And I'm glad that I serve a God that don't automatically call it game when you fall. Because if you leave it up to people, Lord have mercy. If you leave it up to people, when you fall, they'll kick you when you're down. They'll spit on you. They'll talk about you. They'll rumor mill you. You understand what I'm saying to you? But I'm glad I serve a God that it don't make no never mind. In fact, the Bible says a just man falls seven times, but he gets back up again. Yeah. Can we go back to 23, Kim, real quick? He says in verse number 23, and this is mind-blowing to me. He said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. In other words, watch this. He delights in giving you the way to go, and he gets even more tickled when he sees you actually be obedient to what it is, to where it is that he is leading you. You understand what I'm saying to you? Is there anybody in the building today that can say, I might not be perfect, but I'm trusting God. I might not be where I want to be, but I'm believing God. I'm following God. I'm in the word, and I'm doing the best I can. Well, I want you to understand that the Lord we serve, oh, God, y'all don't hear me up in here today. God is delighted in the way that you are operating. God is delighted in the fact that you ain't gave up. God is delighted on the strength that you keep on keeping on with everything that's coming up against you. David writes that the righteous can trust him to sustain them. In verse number 23, the psalmist observes that the steps of a man are ordered by the Lord. Earlier in the psalm, David explains that when we commit our ways to the Lord, he will bring about our righteousness. David proclaims that God orders and directs even the individual steps of a person, and he takes delight in that person. Every step you take is to be ordered by
the Lord. The term translated as ordered or established is from the Hebrew verb that can also mean to guide, direct, or make reliable. Lord, have mercy. In other words, the person who has committed his ways to God will have his steps made sure by God. He will guard them and ensure that they are solid steps. How encouraging is it to know that even our small, seemingly non-important steps are not too insignificant for God? You're talking about a God who said, let the sun be, and the sun was. You're talking about a God that said, let the moon be, and the moon was. You're talking about a God that said, let the rivers be, and water came. And you're talking about a God that said, let the flood, and it flooded. Y'all don't hear me up in here. We're talking about a God that decided to let the wind blow and trees uprooted through concrete for years, that's been stabilized for years, and nobody could do nothing about it. And that very God is saying, every step you take means something to me. People out here playing you like you don't matter, and you letting it get you down when the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, y'all don't hear me up in here, when he said, every step you take means something to me. I delight in everything you do when you rocking with me. He loves and cares for us so much that he actually takes pleasure in guiding our steps. When we fall, we won't fall to destruction because the Lord is the Lord that holds our hands. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. And in all ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. But here's what blew my mind this morning. I've preached that verse a million times, but this morning the Lord had me look at it in the Message Bible, Message Bible written by Eugene Peterson. May he rest in peace and God be happy with him. The Message Bible says in verses 5 through 12, I want you to catch this. He says, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Somebody needs to write that down. God's talking to somebody in this house right now. He said, trust in God with all your heart. Watch this. And from the bottom of your heart, and don't try to figure everything out on your own. You know the problem with smart people is they smart. So smart that intellect sometimes can push them in a way to operate not so smart. Eugene said, trust God from the bottom of your heart and do not try to figure everything out on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one that will keep you on track. Tension in the text. Right there, most of us read that part of the text. There is an obvious issue. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. Because he's the one that keeps you on track. Now, who will be real enough in here to admit that it's hard to wait on the voice of the Lord? Can I tell you why for a lot of us it's hard to wait on the voice of the Lord? Because you don't know it when you hear it. And the reason that you don't know it when you hear it is because you never paid attention to it in the first place. So in order to know the voice of the Lord when he's speaking to you, you first gonna have to get everything else out your head.
He said, listen for God's voice in everything that you do, everywhere you go. Hold on. You mean to tell me that I ain't supposed to make a move until God say go? Guess what? You ain't supposed to make a move till God say go. Not a move. Well, it don't seem like I'll be moving. Good. Don't move then. Because the last time you moved without his go, look what you got. Let me tell you something. I am learning as I get older that my needs become my wants, and my wants are my needs. You understand what I'm saying to you? So let me just show you. I wanted to put the chairs down as soon as they came in. Mm-hmm.
And Reuben said, well, you know, we got a funeral. And so I said, you know what? Ain't nobody going to sit in these chairs first but the Unity Worship Center. Amen. And then, hallelujah. So you know your pastor. I don't know how to sleep. I don't know what that is. That's for humans. And I sat back and I said, as soon as this funeral's over, I'm putting these chairs down. I don't care who don't help me. I ain't gonna ask nobody because I don't feel like getting mad at nobody. I'm gonna pull these chairs up and I'm gonna put these chairs down. But my wants wasn't my need. And then all of a sudden I begin to think about, I gotta preach tomorrow. Now am I gonna limp in there from moving 150 chairs and then putting down 400 more? Because y'all seen me do it before. Had to use that wisdom, or was I gonna have to come in here on lower tabs and muscle relaxes, and ain't no telling what the sermon ended up being at the end of the day. We've had those moments before. I'm sure y'all remember them. But when you get when you grow in God, watch this. Your needs become your wants, and your wants and all of a sudden, guess what? You don't need all the excitement. When you know you're maturing in God when you ain't really caught up with bright and shiny no more. You understand what I'm saying to you? Anybody to the place in God and you think it's just because you get knowed? It ain't, baby. It's the peace that surpasses all understanding that's resting on the inside of you that says, you know what? I'm all right with a good book and some tea. I'm all right with a marathon of Criminal Minds, and I really ain't got to be out there like that. And you know what? That's a little tight for me. I ain't going to wear that no more. You know, y'all acting like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. He says this. He said, listen, think about where you wouldn't go if you was waiting to hear God's yes. Oh, God, let's take it deeper. I hear you, Holy Ghost. So let's, we get ready to run right into some fornication, right? Not. When's the last time you prayed to God and said, Lord, can I go over here and sin? Lord, if you just give me this one, I swear, 3 days of righteousness, not a cuss word, not nothing. When's the last time you prayed like that? You see? Now, it's very simple, but it's very deep if you actually utilize it, because some of you are laughing. Mm-hmm. But I'm for real, just come on over here. Ain't nobody on all that. We ain't trying to, I know you holy. I know you working for God. I told you I'm going to go to church with you. I'm just trying to get myself to come on over here. Come on over here. And you be like, all right. And you get off the phone and you, God, and you waiting, and you waiting, and you waiting for the go. I'm here to tell you, you ain't going to get there. And so, can I just go ahead and bless some single women in here today? Can I bless the single women here? And then I'm going to run back and bless a single man. Is that all right? All right. And single means you ain't married. Let's get that out the way. 2023, we got different versions of single, amen. We got different versions of marriage. We got to define these things, amen. Help me, Lord. Look, single women, I'm going to help you out here real quick. And I've said this to you before, but evidently nobody listens to me. You want to know your worth? Say no. Say no more. Say not until. Now let me tell y'all something. Now hold on, single women. Let me bless you today because there's a new smooth out. Because if you can cook halfway good, and some other things are in order, he don't mind saying, "Will you marry me?" Will you marry me does not mean you married. So you got to stop getting excited about the question.
Come on, Bishop. That part.
That just meant he asked you. Oh, I'm going to bless y'all today. Y'all got my Cash App, I heard. Listen. And, oh, God. Woo, I don't know how I got here. But here you go. Stop getting excited because he take you to meet his mama.
Come on, Bishop.
Everybody know his mama. They all know his mama.
That's why she's not excited when you first walked in the house, because she's not thinking this is the one, because he don't ever bring nobody home. She's thinking, why does this boy keep bringing these women over here to me? Let me help you out right here. Stop thinking that because he bought you something to eat meant that he had you on his mind. It simply meant that you was in the car at the time that he was hungry. And if you wouldn't have been in the car, he probably would have made Chick-fil-A instead of McDonald's. But because there's an upswing on the charge of Chick, y'all don't hear me up in here. I swear, I don't even know how I got there. Single men, I can't forget y'all. Tell her you're going to take her somewhere expensive. Then take her to Super America. Go get a couple sandwiches out of that deli thing they got. And park the car on the curb. It's expensive, ain't it? You seen gas last week. Women ain't laughing at that. Hold on, I ain't going to Super America. See, she don't love you. A real woman will eat with you anywhere. You hear me? Let me stop here. You gotta watch her. If she gonna stick with you when the car don't work, when the car ain't new, when the bank account ain't booming, when the job just let you off, you gotta have. See, that's why I say all the time, marriage is for mature people. You just can't be hooking up with anybody just cause they look good and they sound good and they can promise you the world. I promised that woman over there everything. Didn't come through on none of it. I did, Liz. I did. Told her. Some of y'all know the story. I told her. She said, I don't really want to get married because I got debt. I'm trying to get married. The Bible said, marry or burn. I'm about to burn in this piece. I said, no, don't worry about that debt. That's my debt. I take care of it. I get another job and pay your debt. I just got my car repossessed. If I was going to pay, get another job. You. I'm trying to hip y'all to some stuff. Because, and I want you to understand, Howard said, I love this guy. I'm trying to tell y'all that Satan, listen, women, he's cursed your womb. Let me bring it back to context. Let me bring it back to church. We know that God kicked Satan out of heaven. And when Satan looked up from heaven, from hell, and I want you to understand, there is no Satan under the ground. Bad teaching. There is no devil under the, you stepping on the devil's head, you just messing up your shoes. But when he looked up from his heavenly realm, the first thing that he saw was Eve. And the reason why she caught his attention, because his name was actually Iblis, which means radiant and beautiful. And the first thing that caught his attention as he looked up from hell was what reminded him of what he used to be. And he hated her. Let me make it personal. And he hated you. He hated you. He hates you. Because not only did God make each and every last one of you beautiful, he gave you an ability that he did not give Satan himself. And that was the ability to produce. So he hates you. Let me prove it. Every woman in here, when they're young, they thought about marriage and they thought about the 2.5 kids and the white picket fence and the husband and the this is the perfect marriage in life. But then, don't forget the vacation twice a year. But watch this. But then you went for the lie. And you got hurt. Lord have mercy. And they said, because you was in love and trusted who lied to you,
Can I just be real in this church today? They called you a hoe.
Come on, Bishop.
They spoke horribly on your name. So then you tried another one because he seemed to see that you was down and brokenhearted, and he came to your rescue, and he said all of the right things because he already knew. He had heard through the grapevine, and he knew you, your heart was broken. He knew you was played, and you was vulnerable, and you trusted him because you wanted to love. God put it in us all to love, and you gave yourself to him, and he played you too. Now all of a sudden we're rocking with a reputation that we really don't deserve. I'm not really a hoe. I'm just believing in God. I'm believing in love. I was giving love a chance, but I keep getting played. And I want you to understand. And let me ask you a question. Do you think that it was God's will for you to get played every time you did? Men, let me tell you something. We get played. We play ourselves every time we step off into a woman that ain't our wife. Do you think that it was God's plan for us to play ourselves like that? Do you think it was God's plan for a woman to be raped? Mentally destroyed at the age of 6. He has set an attack on your womb. And the wombs of your babies, and the wombs of your grandbabies. And this is why we've got to do it his way. We've got to do it his way. Eugene Peterson says, don't assume, I'm almost done. Eugene Peterson says, don't assume that you know it all. Run to God and run from evil. You got to learn how to. Run from evil, even when evil looks so good. We was in Kroger's yesterday, and I said, the only sugar I'm going to take is the cake that my mama's making for my birthday. Other than that, and I'm going to do it right. I'm going to ration it out. I'm not going to kill myself. And as soon as I made that declaration, we walked in Kroger's, and they had every cake I loved on sale right by the checkout. No, you're laughing. I want you to understand something. We just buried a brother that died of complications of what I'm fighting. You understand what I'm saying to you? This thing is for real. I don't laugh about it no more. And I sat back and I said, and I began to plead. She saw me. The devil is alive. Lord, help me get up through. Because this thing, see, it don't make no difference. Some addiction is heroin. Some addiction is crack. Some addiction is sex. But right now in my life, the addiction is to sugar. You understand what I'm saying to you? And I had to plead the blood. I had to talk myself out of the oh, Lord, y'all don't hear me. See, any time that it can do wrong to you, it's sin. Hold on, Pastor. You mean if you would have bought that cake, ate that cake that you knew that could kill you or take off one of your legs because of diabetes, you mean to tell me that's sin? This is this temple. This body houses the temple of the living God. Yes, of course it's sin. You understand what I'm saying to you? You got to learn how to run from evil. Got to quit being okay with evil. We gotta quit being, you know, you learn how to embrace evil. What you talking about, Pastor? I know what everybody else has said about him. I know he ain't took care of his other kids, but no, run from evil. Run from evil. In closing, Eugene says, honor God with everything you own. He says, honor God with everything you own. Give him the first and the best. And he gives us a promise. He says, your barns will burst. Your wine vats will brim over. In other words, he's saying you'll have more than enough. You'll have more than enough. So stop dealing with God on the back end. Give him the first and the best. He says, and your barns will burst. You know how big a barn is? It don't make no never mind how big that barn is. If it burst, it means it was bigger. What's in the blessing was bigger than the capacity to hold it. You understand what I'm saying to you? Anybody need some of those type of blessings that just burst? They just burst through your room because you're faithful to doing it his way. But don't, dear friend, here it is. Here's the end. But don't, dear friend, resent God's discipline. Don't sulk under his loving correction. It's the child he loves that he corrects. A father's delight is behind all this. Don't back out because of the discipline. Don't back out because of the spanking. It's immature to back out because of the spanking when you know you was wrong. But when you can sit back and say, I brought this on myself. When you can sit back and say, I've got nobody to blame but me. See, God can do something with you in that season. He can do something with you in that mindset. You hear me today? Do it his way. Because there are assurances. There are blessed assurances in being a child of God and doing it his way. If there's anybody in the building today that says, I'm not saved, I've backslidden, I'm not in right space with God, but today is the day that I desire to do it his way, we offer you the invitation to come on down. If today is the day that you're saying, hey, I want to do it his way from here on out, there's safety in his way. There is peace in his way. Freedom, thank you, woman of God. Freedom in his way. Listen, ain't no shame in his way. I don't have to feel guilty in his way. And the Lord is showing me about four people that is saying, I really want to go down there and I really want to say that I'm ready to give my life to God, but I don't, what if I mess up? What if you gonna mess up? Let me just go ahead and help you out. You gonna mess up. You can get your walk to a point to where, and I really believe this, and some people get upset with me and Pastor Gross because we believe this wholeheartedly. When we say you don't have to sin, you don't. It says it in the Bible. It says that there is a mediator. If you sin, there is a mediator. If you sin. But until you get to that place of righteousness and holiness to where you're not, you understand what I'm saying to you? He says, and when you fall, I ain't going to cast you out. If there's anybody in the building today that says, I'm ready and I'm tired, this double life is killing me. Even if I'm only living that double life one day a week and then the rest of the week I'm living something else, I'm tired and I don't want to continue to be this way. We offer you the invitation. We offer you the invitation to come on down. If we have anybody in the building that says, listen, Pastor, I'm saved and I'm straight, I just need prayer. And before you start flooding the altar, don't come for prayer if you don't want it to change. Our pastors, our prayer warriors, they all have the ear of God. Don't come asking for prayer if what you're going to ask for you really don't want. If there's anybody in the building that says, today I need prayer, we offer you the invitation to come on down. If there's anybody in the house that says, I don't have a church home, but I desire to make unity my church home, I believe that God is calling me here. I believe that there is something for me to do in this. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Can you help us pray, Ray?